Hey, Rob, how was your day?
Hey, it was pretty good, pretty productive.
Good. I'm still resting up from the cold and cough, but it's a better. It's I'm not 100%, but I'm pretty close. Getting there.
Good, 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 good. Yeah. It's time definitely to not have cold bugs or any kind of bugs and get back at it.
Yeah, we just got over the cooties for what, 18
Yeah,
months?
yeah.
Yeah, so.
Some people still want to get on with it, but no, I'm done with it. So, I'm waiting for COVID 2020 to come out, or well, I guess now it'd be COVID 2021, but we'll see.
Yeah, hopefully it won't. So.
Exactly.
All right, this is Indy's Local Flavor. We are brought to you by Gleaners Food Bank. $1 donation is 5 meals for the hungry and the homeless. Please visit gleaners.org/donate to do that. Once again, $1 is 5 meals for the hungry and homeless, which includes seniors and children. That's gleaners.org/donate. Thank you to all our friends sitting around the United States. We have thank you also to our friends in Chiapas, Mexico, Ontario, and Quebec, Canada. We have new listeners in Vienna, Austria, and Abu Dhabi, United Arab Emirates, and the rest of our friends listening around the world. Thank you. You really make it happen. Also, if you would, please go to Indy's Local Flavor on Google and go to Anchor FM, and please subscribe and donate to the show if you would, and please write a review on iTunes. Thank you very much. Okay, a belated sports news, a belated congratulations to Indianapolis 500 winner Elio Castroneves. I understand it was a great race. In basketball last night, I don't normally report on this, but I believe a record was broken. Kevin Durant of the Brooklyn Nets against the Milwaukee Bucks. His stats were 49, 17, and 10. 49 points, 17 rebounds, 10 assists, and the Brooklyn Nets lead the Milwaukee Bucks 3-2. Since we were heard last, the Indiana Pacers fire head coach Nate Bjorkman after one season. Derek Carr of the Vegas Raiders said yesterday if he ever got traded, he would retire. And I want your feedback on this, Rob. The Tennessee Titans pick up a marquee wide receiver Julio Jones. What's your feedback on that?
A couple things, and one of them is not even related to that part, but the Falcons are in were in a jam. They could not afford him, and he,
Right.
from reports, had been on the market for quite some time just because it had to happen.
Right.
But I believe the Titans are now in a similar jam with salary cap, with how that's going to work. I did see a report just looking at AFC South, specifically the Colts,
Right.
and the question on that show was, are the Colts built to have a breakout year, and they didn't have a determination. I believe getting Julio Jones, the Titans have made it very difficult, because in that same discussion, they were putting the Titans winner of the AFC South and roughly the number five seed in playoffs. They thought Colts would make the playoffs, but it may be a lot like last year, which is there are two pretty decent teams potentially in the AFC South, and then there's the rest of it.
I agree with that. With Julio Jones, if he has a full healthy season, he can beat anybody.
Oh, yeah.
However, he's been injury prone the last couple years.
He's also among the five oldest receivers in the league.
Right. So, you know. So, yeah, and the X factor with him is going to be the injury bug, so who knows what will happen there, and we'll see about that soon enough.
Yeah, the side note I had on that was now the focus shifts finally to Aaron Rodgers and whether or not he's going to be a Denver Bronco.
Which I don't see happening anytime soon.
Yeah, it's a soap opera. We'll yeah. Not hold my breath on any of it.
So I kind of wanted to get away from the list a little bit, and I really wanted to have a conversation. So today's topic is Star Wars. We're going to do a Star Wars special. I know it's not the holiday special with Bea Arthur and Harvey Korman. Hallelujah. Have you ever seen that?
I may have. It's been a while, but we, you know, my family, we would watch the Carol Burnett Show, you know, anything like that. That was good stuff. So, yeah.
That's the worst thing I've ever seen.
What, the Carol Burnett Show?
No, the Star Wars holiday special.
Oh, yeah. No, actually, that would be a good top 10. The
worst movie time.
Yes. Yeah. I don't know if it would be the, what was the name of it? Something about Benjamin Button. I think it was The Curious Case of Benjamin Button, where the guy ages backwards. I went on a date in the theater for that. And, you know, it paid off after the movie, but I was just sitting there thinking, I am so sorry, and you probably hate me now. So. But yeah, there's some bad shows out there, definitely.
Yeah, it was that movie. I couldn't even make it through it. I tried to watch it on YouTube. It was dreadful. Because, you know, I've watched all movies. I'm like, no. And George Lucas said if he had one wish from a genie, he would have all the copies of that movie and break them up with a sledgehammer. So, there you go. Did you see that movie in the theater?
Yes. The original.
Yeah, episode 4.
Yep. And a lot of memories on that. It was just the build up to it because I can't remember the actual release date, but I have a June birthday, and it was a birthday present. And it wasn't so much being in the theater for that.
Right.
As much as what came from it over the years. But yes, I saw every single one of them in the theater when they were released, and it usually coincided with my birthday. Specifically Empire Strikes Back. I had a birthday party, and I believe it was at the Lafayette Square location. Mm-hmm. And I had 5 to 10 of my friends and long lines, and we were waiting and waiting and waiting to get tickets. And so what we did was we were outside. I think I was maybe 8 around that time. Yeah. Turning 8, and we played like Mother May I, Simon Says, you know, all that stuff for it seemed like forever. And then we went in and watched it. And after that movie, I do remember walking out of there thinking they cannot end it this way. You know, just because I was a little kid, I was like, no, that's not cool what just happened in there. So
did you say that was for Empire?
That was for Empire, yeah.
Yes. Let's see. So I found out recently that Star Wars came out Memorial Day weekend, May 25th, 1977.
Okay. So it would have been basically that following month is when I saw it.
Right. And I don't know. And my parents saw it first. And my parents drove me to the Eastgate Theater when I was 6 and my brother was 3 to there. And it was, you're exactly right. It was a huge buildup to get, and in the movie, it was the 100th showing of the movie. So it was way past Memorial Day. And Darth Vader was on the microphone, supposedly, introducing the, but, I guess the it all, you know, I've read a lot about this, movie that, 20th Century Fox thought it was going to be a flop. And, It was billed as a space opera. Lucas said, the rights to the film, I just want the rights to the merchandising.
Yep.
So the main thing that had never been seen before is the first scene in the movie when the Star Destroyer comes on the screen and is chasing the Carillion Corvette the Princess Leia's flying in. It's like a subway train that goes on for like a day.
Per Spaceballs.
Right. Mel Brooks Spaceballs, of course. But
it's all about the merchandising.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Of course. What did yogurt say?
Yeah.
The pursuit for more
money.
Oh,
there's all sorts of it. Yeah. It's like, yeah. Oh, we ain't found blank. They're combing the desert.
Literally.
Yeah. The best is, and you know, because I saw that in the theater as well.
Yeah.
And that one, that it still makes me cry every time I see it, is Rich Moranis.
Yeah.
It's Dark Helmet.
Yes.
You know, right. And they go from ludicrous speed to a dead stop, and he flies into the screen. Right. And he's like, right. Are we stopped? Yes, sir, we're stopped. How are you? I'm fine. Thank you. It's like, let's take five, smoke them if you got them, and he falls over.
Yeah. We've gone to plan. Right?
We've gone to plan.
Right.
There's so many great moments in that one from a funny perspective, but in a parody perspective. But that's when parodies could be really, really awesome. So, yeah.
Right. The only Star Wars movie I didn't see in the theater was Solo because the reviews were so bad. But when I got home and watched it on Blu-ray, that was a fantastic movie.
That's one of my favorites because some of the notes I wrote down for this discussion is when I was growing up, I was always Han Solo because I had dark hair.
Sure.
And, yeah. And so when that movie came out, I was like, this is freaking awesome. So I couldn't understand how it was panned in the theaters. But and this is how the staying power of the Star Wars series just goes and goes and goes. I hadn't seen my aunt and uncle got divorced years and years ago, but he was at our Christmas of 2019.
Okay.
And he and I were just picking it up where we left off years prior.
Yeah.
About Star Wars, about movies. He's big super the whole very, yeah, very much into film. And he thought that Rogue One was probably the best movie following Episode 4 of all of them. And I said, you know what? I don't know that I see that, but I can see where it comes from because, you know, it had that same feel to it that a lot of the origin stories, origin films that go back to answer unanswered questions, those are very big right now. And it was very well put together. So the what they call the Star Wars stories movies are, I think, not bad. I think I heard that there's going to be one for Obi-Wan.
Correct.
Yeah. So, you know, those, I'm a fan of those as well.
I'm currently watching The Bad Batch. Have you watched The Bad Batch, the animated series yet on?
No.
Oh, you don't have Disney Plus.
Correct.
Well, I do have good news. I believe Gina Carano's coming back to Star Wars. That's the rumor floating around.
Well, I was waiting on that or for Disney to apologize and bring her back. Or I would never, you know, ever, ever. So, okay. All right. Keep hope alive.
Right.
Star Wars 4, an episode, you know, A New Hope. And yeah. Okay.
But your Rogue One comment, that I agree with that. I think it's the best movie post the original trilogy. So.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. I know I griped about when I was 8 years old and they disappointed me with Empire Strikes Back. But the darkness of Star Wars how, and that's another thing I'd noted, is it's not about necessarily one movie. It's right. about, and I'd seen, it was about the making of Star Wars, and they interviewed Lucas, and right. You know, basically he talked about he wanted to have a mythology. It's almost like Shakespeare yeah. with the yes. with the tragedy and the you know the bad stuff, because you can't right. have the bad without the good,
right.
And it almost becomes religious, and so Empire was needed, you know, and,
right,
and
sure.
I don't know that that's my favorite, but I do put it a notch above Rogue One.
Right, sure. And the other thing that really stood out about Star Wars was John Williams' soundtrack.
That's another thing I noted, is that, and it was kind of an escalating order of how the movies stay with you because of the themes, and just how it does impact people on the back end without them ever thinking about it. And I was thinking about John Williams' music.
Right.
The thing that stands out every time I watch episode 4 is that first note by the trumpets.
Yes.
If you've ever played trumpet, and I did for 5 or 6 years,
mm-hmm.
hitting that note straight out, it hurts. Let alone all the you know, just interaction of that intro, mm-hmm. through the rest of that theme. And I ended up playing trumpet, I'm pretty sure partially because I was like, I'm going to hit that note. I might have hit that note once in my life.
Right.
Just
right.
Because it's almost impossible.
Do you know who wrote the music to the cantina scene in Star Wars?
Oh gosh, I used to know this, and it's no one we would ever think of. Who was it?
Quincy Jones.
Yes. Yes.
And what I didn't know, I used to buy a lot of CDs, which I don't now. I buy records, but on the original trilogy Star Wars CD box, Quincy Jones had 2 cantina songs, and the second one's really good too.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. They're both really good. So there was one that got released, and there was another one that never got released. So it's excellent.
Going back for a second to the,
sure.
Kind of the prediction that the first Star Wars would flop.
Right.
Some of the behind the scenes stuff, you know, like Quincy Jones doing the cantina music and all of that. In the closing ceremony of episode 4,
yeah,
did you know that people were laughing and basically just, you know, cutting up and totally slamming that closing ceremony, because they're like, thank God this thing's over, because you know, they thought, just pay us, we're leaving this thing's, you know, it's in the scrap heap or whatever,
right?
So there's that one, but the one that got me was at the very end of episode 6 with the Ewoks.
Yeah, which I hate. Yes. Yeah,
so did they
oh, like, oh good.
It was almost like the end of episode 4, because they're like, I can't remember what they called it, but it was basically the equivalent of a puffball party. And they hated it. They did not want to do it.
Did you collect the Star Wars cards?
I've got a couple of them, but not original ones now.
Okay, because how can I say this? On the green series, there was a green series that came. There's a couple of rare things from Star Wars that if you ever find at wherever you're shopping, or a garage sale or a rummage sale or whatever, there's a couple of rare things about Star Wars. Number one is Star Wars soundtrack on 8-track. That's super rare.
Okay.
And my buddy has that.
Wow.
Number two, on the green series of Star Wars. It's a C-3PO card. And the makers, yeah, I believe it was Topps Trading Cards. Three people thought it would be funny. They made three of these cards of C-3PO as a male. So
Goldfinger.
Dun, dun. Yeah.
Who has gold?
Yeah.
So. Oh wow, that's neat. That would be interesting to have gotten as a 6 year old. But yeah, that's whee. Okay.
So, and let's see. Do you know the story of how the Godfather saved Star Wars?
I don't. That's a good one. But it might be, I'm just gonna throw it out here.
Uh-huh.
The thing I watched recently, just for giggles, I don't like the movie. Mm-hmm. Stuff with Stanley Kubrick just I don't know. It crawls on me at times.
I get it.
But did you know 2001 A Space Odyssey was made in 1968?
Yes.
And it the category of what the streaming had was, you know, these are innovative special effects movies. And as I'm watching it in that context, I'm like, yeah, it is. I have no idea how they did that in 1968.
Right.
But 8 years later, well, roughly, Star Wars comes along. So I was like, okay. But yeah, that theme stuck out to me here recent. But no, tell me about Godfather.
Well, we can do that in a second. The other thing that kind of led up to Star Wars, if you think about the timeline, it was Star Trek, right?
Yeah.
2001, A Space Odyssey.
Yep.
Do you remember the television show Space 1999?
I did not see that. I was big into, and I don't know if Battlestar Galactica had come on before or after. That was one I watched. I think you and I discussed The Black Hole, which came in from Disney after Star Wars.
Right, yes.
Yeah, so... leave that where it's at.
Battlestar Galactica came later.
Yeah, so okay.
The connection, which they talk about this, I bought the entire Star Wars collection, including the prequels. So that would have been episode 1 through episode 6. So that was before 7, 8, 9 were out. On Blu-ray when they first came out. And they had bonus discs with these. And this was one of the stories. Francis Ford Coppola of Godfather fame and George Lucas started their own production company when they first got out of USC Film School.
That's right. Yep.
Well, they didn't make enough. They were going to produce their own films and finance their own films, but it never happened. They never had enough money to keep it going. So George, after he filmed all the movie and it was all done, pretty much was having some sort of health problems and was out of money. And Francis gave him the money to edit the movie to get it done, to get it on the screen.
Wow.
So.
And I don't know if you've seen this, but in one of the shows I had seen when I did have Disney Plus, entry, mm-hmm. there was some.
You still there? Hey Rob, you froze or I lost you? Hey Rob, are you still there? You still there, Rob? Yes, I got you now.
Okay, sorry. I don't know how much of that you heard.
No, I didn't hear anything.
Okay. Yeah, in the documentary I saw about George Lucas, they did mention some of that. Another interesting thing that was mentioned is the at one point, I think it was the Screen Actors Guild. George Lucas left. He quit paying dues because there was a requirement at the time, and maybe still, that the credits have to run. Certain credits have to run at the beginning of the film,
right?
And obviously, you know, the intro to the Star Wars movies, that doesn't happen. It goes straight into the action. So,
well, it does the storyline.
Yeah,
the huge sprint storyline.
Right.
Yeah.
So that was the contention there, but they had mentioned a little bit of Francis Ford Coppola and getting started out from USC. So, I don't know that they'd mentioned though that Coppola had, you know, assisted during some bad times though.
Right. Yeah, and he was, you know, having health problems. Just finished the movie. He was over budget, you know, and he didn't have the movie, done at all.
Yeah.
Ready to turn into 20th Century Fox.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you saw the documentary on Netflix about Toys of Our Youth, but if you did you hear the part, the Star Wars part?
I have not seen it. I do have a couple of tidbits on things I've learned over the years about it, but no, I had not seen that.
Okay. The Star Wars movie came out in 1977. And when, so what the kids did that Christmas is they went to the store to get their toys, and they were given a long card.
Yeah.
And they said, well, your toys will be ready in 1978, because nobody thought there was going to be a demand for this stuff.
Right.
So the toys didn't come out till the summer of 78. So the kids had to wait around, you know, 6 months.
Yeah.
For their figures.
Yeah. Yeah. And one of the things I'd seen, and I can't remember the source, but at one point, this would have been in the last 5 to 10 years, the most collectible, valuable thing, one item, was a model of Boba Fett that had never been used, and it basically was a prop for the movie, and it was basically like an action figure, but it was the original one.
Oh, wow.
And, yeah, and so it was to be used in the movie. I don't believe it ever was. And that thing was, you know, it. So, and, you know, as far as some of the things I remember from the merchandise was that Christmas, it was, let's see, what did I, that for that first movie, it was the best Christmas ever. I got tons of action figures. They're buried somewhere. I have no idea where.
Yeah.
I'm hoping. I got a Death Star.
Oh, wow.
It's the actual insides of the Death Star. And I have, it's been years. And remember, I was a 6-7 year old kid then.
Yeah.
But the box is legible. It's still with it.
Right.
So, you know, it survived decades. So it's gotta be worth something.
Yeah.
I also have a Return of the Jedi lunchbox. It's in really good condition. I've got it on display. But just a lot of the stuff, there was so much merchandise. There was so much stuff. I went to the Rolling Stones concert in 2015.
Yeah.
And you know, what's old is new again. I walked in with, it was a light red t-shirt, and in white lettering and white logo, it said Star Wars with a TIE fighter on the front.
Right.
And I wasn't paying attention. As a buddy of mine, we were headed to where we needed to be.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden this very attractive lady
Yeah.
Who I'm guessing it was half my age, looks at me, she goes, cool t-shirt. So I was like, yeah.
You were on cloud nine.
I was on cloud nine. That was the best thing of that concert. Not seeing Matt, Mick, not seeing Keith. You know, but I did almost stumble over myself. But, you know, it's like, okay, dear, when I saw the original movie in the theater, you were not even to be thought of for at least another, I'm guessing, 10 to 20 years. So
I do have a story. Do you remember when they remastered the quality of Star Wars and re-released it in the theater?
Oh yeah.
I bought tickets. I was still in radio. I bought tickets for everybody, for my entire family. And they all fell asleep.
Oh.
I was like, not doing that again.
No. No. That's wow. That, so was it the music group? It wasn't there a music group that named themselves the Nerf Herders?
Possibly.
Yeah, I think there was. And that was for pop culture, but it's like, right, you know, from the line, I don't know if that was a Nerf Herder move or not, but
that was on Solo.
I would, yeah, exactly.
And you know, do you know the backstory of Harrison Ford with Star Wars?
He was like a carpenter on the scene, on
right?
Yeah,
which didn't make a whole lot of sense because he was in American Graffiti with Lucas, so he knew that Harrison could act a little bit.
Yeah,
but. Yeah, he was a carpenter working on the sets.
Yeah.
And then he got asked to read the scene, so.
Right, right. Another thing of the merchandise, it became a game. Because I've seen episode 4 so many times. There was a summer there where my babysitter had it on. I mean, this was cutting edge technology then. I think I was in 6th grade.
Yeah.
Had VHS and had the Star Wars tape.
Yeah.
And every afternoon that I was being babysat for, I would watch that movie. And sure. But to go along with it, there was a book where you could get, it was just, you know, kind of a game book, but the object was to get all this minuscule information out of the movie. And the one thing that still sticks out to me to this day is whenever they talk about TK421, because that was one of the answers.
Right, right.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So there's just so many angles to it. But to have the impact that it did, I still don't know why. I still don't know how, but it is.
My college roommate at Ball State, Tony, he knows every line to Star Wars.
For a while, I did as well. But I started paying taxes, and I forgot. So.
Did you ever go to a Star Wars convention?
No. No, I have not. I did not.
I have not either. I'm a fan, but I'm not a fanatic.
So. Yeah, I know. Mm-hmm. I did. Oh, here's this. This is cool. I think this is cool.
Uh-huh.
I had gotten out of college. I switched jobs. It was the Halloween after I had switched jobs, and I was going to spend the exuberant sum of $50 to get a full Darth Vader costume.
Sure.
Because at our work, I'd been there a few months. Every Halloween they dress up and actually had a Halloween party.
Right.
And so I was going as Darth Vader. Well, as you walk into the building, I think we were on the third floor. But as you walked into the lobby of the building, there was an elevator in the center of that lobby.
Yeah.
And as I'm walking to the elevator in the morning, the doors start to open. I hear behind me somebody say, cool costume.
Yeah.
And I turn around, give them the thumbs up, and the doors shut.
Like you're going, yeah. Like you're going to the top floor of the Death Star.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, you know that scene. That I've done that, so maybe I need to check that off my list because that was awesome. It was totally worth the $50.
And this is long before the days of security.
Yeah, it was. You see that now, yeah. and you're getting tackled.
Yeah, yeah, because yeah. we used to have those days at the office, and the big four execs walked out into the atrium by the lunchroom, and they were Dorothy, Tin Man, the Cowardly Lion, and the Scarecrow.
I believe I know who one of those is because he's over our department. Yeah,
right.
I think I remember that. Yes.
Yes. So yeah.
Oh, that. Yeah. No, that. I've seen those pictures. I wasn't with them at that time, but I've seen those pictures, and that. See, that was fun. That was.
Yeah, those were the fun days.
Yeah. Yeah.
So. Now. Have you ever read the Dark Horse comic series, Dark Empire?
I have not. I know you've mentioned it, and
yes,
my reading list had piled up. I wouldn't get into things as quick as I to, but I think you said it's pricey, but worth it.
Well, it tells the true story of Luke Skywalker, not the I'll say the politically correct version, wimpy way of Luke Skywalker, how he went out in the movie.
Yeah, yeah. I thought about that and kind of the way that Harrison Ford's career took off from that. Mark yeah. Hamill's kind of didn't, but yeah. yet somehow it's reinvented itself to where
right. Mandalorian saved it.
Yeah. But somehow Luke Skywalker and Luke Picard arguing about what food service or what food they're going to get through their, their delivery, home delivery.
Yeah.
Yeah. Uber Eats or whatever
it
is.
Uber Eats, right.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, that's just kind of how far it's come. It's like, okay, Mark Hamill's doing okay. He's doing all right.
Yeah. But, you know, I don't know if you've seen, well, he's an outside of Luke Skywalker, man, and maybe the voiceovers of the Joker, he's not the most dynamic of actors.
I agree. I think that's part of it. Also, the thing that I wish movies after the original trilogy had come out would have and could have included him more. One question that I have not heard anything about was the timing of Carrie Fisher's passing and how it might have gone if she had not passed when she did, because that was I think if not smack dab in the middle of the final trilogy, it was at the end of the first. So some of that I think was patchwork together. I think it might have been a little bit better with the three of them.
Yeah.
For whatever could have happened. I am amazed at the special effects that they were able to do with her after her passing. That kind of surprised me.
Right. Because I want to say it's Dave Fellini. Dave Fellini now is the Star Wars expert for the Star Wars franchise. And, who's the guy that started The Mandalorian, who I'm drawing a blank on?
It's your guy, John Favreau.
John Favreau. It's John Favreau and Dave Fellini now that are basically holding the torch for the true purist Star Wars purist fans. And Dave Fellini, it has to be a huge Dark Empire fan, because I'll give you a little teaser. That's where the super stormtroopers come from.
Oh, okay.
So,
okay.
So yeah, that's a. And there's Dark Empire 1. I haven't read Dark Empire 2, but that's on my list. But yeah, it's a total 180 of what happened in episode 8.
Yeah. And you know, there is that's part of it, you know. Right. What happened with Luke Skywalker? Is the family cursed? You know, the whole thing. And here's the one thing I wanted to put out there was,
sure,
when I was a little kid, I had a feeling when Luke was looking at the two setting suns, right?
Right. On Tatooine.
Yeah. And that same feeling is there if I watch it right now. And you can't put a finger on it. You don't know what it is, you know? It's right. Like, okay, you've just been dealt a bag of crap. What are you going to do about it? And everybody faces that. So I think it's a universal feeling, but it's different for everybody. So, and well, it didn't matter if I was 6 years old or, you know, approaching 50.
Well, it's funny you say that, because the hint they give about Gina Carano is three setting suns with her in her uniform in a Star Wars film on social media.
So I did like how they closed out 9 with Rey being at that same place, you know?
Yeah.
So that there's something there.
Well, I really think it's kind of ironic. As soon as the Mandalorian started, all the information about Star Wars 9 went away.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Disney is definitely gearing up for another payday. As soon as everybody is fully vaccinated and no masks and social distancing. And
that would be Black Widow.
Yeah. Well, and I was thinking about that. What other origin films could come from Star Wars? Because, you know, you've covered some of them. But my thought was, with The Mandalorian, let's really, if there's 900 years worth of Yoda, let's dig into Yoda. You know, let's dig into Chewbacca. Let's, you know, I all those side origin stories and possibilities, it really, really interest me.
I think they're also going to expand Jango Fett.
Yes, yes. And that one confuses me, just because, you know, what screwed it up for me was, you know, it's the timing and, you know, being able to chronologically put every piece together. But
yeah,
episodes 1 through 3, really, I'm the Fets confound me, especially after The Mandalorian, which, you know, I didn't realize until close to the end of that series, whether it was before or after what we knew. So,
yeah. Yeah. Are you a fan of the comedian Bill Burr?
Yeah.
He was interviewed once and he says, "I'm one of the most foul-mouthed comedians in the universe, and Gina Carano is one of the nicest people I know. How in the heck does she get kicked off a show and not me?"
it's where we're at. It's where we're at.
Yeah, I know.
This is me not mentioning the NFL getting sued by a local police officer for defamation. So
I saw that.
Yeah, yeah. But you know, it's just about the it's about who you know, and that is evident more than ever about what is justice and what's not, in my view. So
yeah. Well, it's I can say sum it up the same way. It's really political. So
yeah. Yeah, it is across the board. But if she's getting her job back, all's right in the world, as far as I can tell. So maybe that, you know, involved a secret little lawsuit or threat of, and you know, their lawyers and everybody's lawyers got together and said, you know what, maybe we jumped too soon. So.
Well, I think it was the fan outcry. I really do.
Well, yeah, the political support can drive a lot, as we've seen over the last while. So
yeah. So I've got bit of a story. When I was growing up, me and my brother in our hometown of Anderson, our cousin from California would come every summer. And back in the '70s, when we were growing up in the early '80s, $100 was a big deal.
Yeah.
The Millennium Falcon was $100.
Yeah.
He had the Millennium Falcon. So he would bring it to our hometown of Anderson, you know, every summer. And the thing that I talked to my mom about and my family about, whoever was around Star Wars, I'm like, I talked to my brother Ben about it. I'm like, Ben, we played with these toys for 6 years.
Yeah.
What kids do that now? And I'm not talking about an Xbox console. I'm talking about what kid plays the same video game. And I'm not talking about a Madden product. I'm not talking about NBA. I'm talking about the same toy product that came off the line with no upgrade for 6 years.
Yeah. And you hit on a lot of points there, a lot of things I hadn't even thought about. When I was married, my then wife's son was of the age of, you know, entering middle school and just mm-hmm. leaving middle school. And, you know, in the earlier years, the fifth or sixth grade, kind of to the whole what's old is new again.
Right.
He loved Star Wars Legos. And, right. you know, during sure. the holidays or birthday or whatever, we would scour to find a very elaborate Lego set to keep him occupied. But it right, didn't sure. matter how elaborate it was. It was done. I think the longest it took, it was done within, you know, 4 hours. And, and it's like, okay, I'm done. You know?
Right. That's like my son when he played the Wii Lego games. He'd have the game beat, which is $60. Yeah. He'd have the game beat in a day.
Yeah, yeah. And it is the attention span. It totally is. But and here's where I'm kicking myself. I've got a Millennium Falcon. When I moved into my house 11 yeah. years ago, yeah. my mom had it in storage, and she took it out and she cleaned it and she gave it to me, and I've got that. But I think about the X-wing fighter that did not make it because I wanted to, you know, blow it up, and the X-wing and Y-wing and TIE fighter and all that stuff. The fact that I thought it'd be cool after watching Empire Strikes Back for C-3PO to lose a hand. So, you know,
sure.
That stuff, that's what I'm really kicking myself on. But I had not thought about the fact that we played with that stuff for years.
Yeah. Yeah. And my buddy Craig, he bought Lego Star Destroyer. 1,400 pieces, I think, took him 2 weeks to do, and he had to buy the lights separate, so it looks like it's taking off. It's yeah. massive and it's great. I'll send a picture of it too.
Yeah. I do want to see that because I had ogled that pre-COVID.
Yeah,
and I'm trying to think of some interesting, in this case, it'd be a geeky thing to build and display, because yeah, that kind of stuff interests me. My dad, he loves jigsaw puzzles, and I bet right. he would go off on that. So maybe I would give it to him and have him build it.
Yeah. I don't have the patience or the tolerance for that, or the talent. But yeah.
Yeah. So. I might. It might get kind of bad if I do it right now with everything else going on, but that's an idea. It's you know, it's kind of like reading anymore, you know. I'll yeah. get to it when I can get to it. So
I hear you. You gotta carve it out, and I know I hear you. So my friend, do you have any closing comments?
a couple things, and it's something I missed earlier about the special effects, and these are little tidbits that most true Star Wars fans probably know, but there were 2 points. Do you know how Darth Vader's breathing, that sound? You know how that was actually produced? Yep.
No.
It was not Chris Farley talking into a fan.
right. And Chris Farley was a graduate of Saturday Night Live, for those who don't know.
Yes. They dropped a microphone into a scuba tank.
I did not know that.
It's just, it's simple, simple stuff. And if you go back and watch it, you're like, holy crap. You know, this is special effects in 1977, but it totally worked. So
a guy went scuba diving with a microphone.
No, they were out. And if I understand it right, they emptied the oxygen tank, dropped the microphone in, put a mouthpiece up. And that's what James Earl Jones talked into.
You know, I love James Earl Jones, but people have asked him to do Darth Vader stuff, and he will never do it. He says, I don't remember any of the lines.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I'm like, what? And I love that guy, but I'm like, really?
Yeah. That, yeah. Okay.
But he refuses to do it. I'm like, and you know, kind of like Alex Guinness, you know, he was all ticked off that everybody remembered him from Obi-Wan Kenobi and all of his previous work. And he's been, did million movies.
Was Ewan McGregor a good young Obi-Wan or not?
Oh yeah, without a doubt.
I think so. I think he's the one constant that was credible, and I think he did do a good job on that. And speaking of Obi-Wan and Darth Vader, the crackling sound when two lightsabers hit. Do you know how they made that sound?
That, I believe they were hitting the extension of telephone pole wires.
There's that is, I believe, the hum of the lightsaber, but the crackling, and it's, some of the stuff is so, you're like, oh my gosh, that it's that simple. But the crackling when they're, you know,
hitting together and sparking.
They took if I remember it correctly, they took a violin bow. And they took a real long inflated balloon and they take it up and down. So listen to it. It sounds like a crackling balloon, you know, or nails against a chalkboard. That's how they got that sound. So two things, look it up. If I'm wrong, tell me I'm wrong, please. But that's what I remember from that. But the hum was the power lines. I agree with that. Yeah.
There was this is my closing statement. There was a picture on social media of George Lucas, and they said George Lucas in his first 3 movies and his special effects, and he was surrounded by R2-D2, C-3PO, and all the models, surrounded by models in this room. And then they said George Lucas in the trilogy was CG, and he had like 3 things around him. And I'm like, you know, I like the models better. But
there's parts of the remastering that went on.
Yeah.
Where they inserted like Jabba and Han
and Yoda
having a discussion. Yeah. Before, you know, he gets in there, and some of that stuff, you can see the blue screen, you know, before or after. And I don't know if I like CG or the models, but I can tell you one thing, in 1977, I hadn't ever seen anything like it, and the story, I don't know that I'm ever going to see anything like it. So
it was so original, it was like off the chart. Okay, well, today's episode has been brought to you by Gleaner's Food Bank. $1 equals 5 meals for the hungry. If you want to donate, please do. It's tax deductible. That's gleaners.org/donate. It's $1 is 5 meals for the hungry. Please visit gleaners.org/donate. And if you would, please do me a personal favor. Please go to Andy's Local Flavor on Google, on Anchor FM. Please subscribe, and if you would, please donate. Keep the show going if you enjoy it. Please donate to the show, and please write a review on iTunes when you get a moment, and thank you for doing that. This episode's been brought to you by the letter S, as in star, Joshua 1, Psalm 91, and 1 Peter 5:7. For Rob, I'm Joe Carney for Indy's Local Flavor, and we'll see you soon.